We had our first scripture reading out of the passage in Isaiah. For good reason, it kind of sets the tone and it sets the expectation for what Jesus would endure. Now, I suspect that those who knew Jesus, were living in his day, had no idea that that passage would apply to him in such a powerful and literal way. And for those of us who grew up on that passage, hearing it, like, and I still hear it sometimes in the King James. That's how I learned it as a child, right? And a man of sorrows, acquainted with our grief, and so on. But it's this beautiful image of someone who paid the price, received the punishment of sins that they never committed, right? That's Alyssa mentioned that. That's part of why it stands out to us. He endured physical pain that he did not deserve to endure. And this is what we think about every Good Friday, right? Is the fact is that the only truly spotless, perfect one paid a price that he didn't deserve so that we could live a life for eternity that we didn't deserve. But as I've thought about that passage and others like it over the years, I started to notice more and more of what we might call like shame language, right? If you go back and look at those verses again, you know, he was despised, rejected, held in low esteem in the passages we read it out of the Gospel of Mark. He was mocked, insulted. And oftentimes when we as Christians will talk about shame, and what we'll talk about is in the sense of like when you do something wrong and you know it's wrong and you feel ashamed, right? And we talk about how you shouldn't carry that shame with you. That's what Jesus died for. And that is 100% true. Just don't think I'm trying to go against that. But you notice that Jesus doesn't actually have that shame because he didn't actually do anything wrong. He has nothing to feel shamed about. But I think that's actually what makes it all the more powerful. Because Jesus is the only truly honorable and glorious one who has ever walked this planet. Right? The King of Kings, the eternal Son of God, right, through whom all things were created, the one who was on his throne in heaven, being ministered to by angels. And he came to earth. Now I realize I'm preaching a Christmas sermon here, but he came to earth to walk on this planet. Eat food just like us, sleep just like us. He would get hungry, and so on. But his willingness to identify with us was so strong that he was even willing to put himself in a place where he would be publicly shamed. Do you understand the difference between feeling shame over something I did and being shamed by somebody? Have you ever been made fun of? Or mocked or insulted in front of a group of people, and it makes you feel small and belittled. And oftentimes we're like, I really didn't deserve that. Right? That's part of what the power of shame is it puts something on you that you don't actually deserve. You know, and so Jesus can identify with this unearned, undeserved shame that so many of us have felt at some point. And I just use simple examples of being mocked or made fun of. But Jesus was abused, physically abused, publicly. And some of us might understand that feeling of shame that comes with that you carry. And it's just, maybe I am what they say I am. So the death of Jesus is not just simply about paying a penalty of sin. It's actually him, literally, he really is taking on the sin and the pain and the grief and the shame of the world, none of which he deserved, right? And he does that for all of us. That's what Isaiah 53 says. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. And again, we use that language a lot where Jesus bore our sin and shame on the cross. But you'll notice we haven't finished our scripture reading yet because he didn't just bear the sin and the shame of the world on the cross. He took it to the tomb with him. Right? The story continues a little bit more. And so all that sin and shame that got him up there, I mean, you think about it, I was even thinking about this. It talks about how the criminals who were executed alongside of him mocked him. That's how low he was. that other people who were being publicly executed felt that they were superior enough to mock him, and he took it all on the cross and he carried it with him into a tomb. Our sense of justice should be outraged. This simply should not happen. It shouldn't happen to anyone, let alone the only truly perfect and glorious one. And I worry that sometimes, because we're so used to these stories, that we don't feel that sense of righteous anger that we should. And if we put ourselves in the shoes of the people who were there, his followers, and you keep in mind that many of them ran off as soon as the problem started. And what they see is all their hopes that they had put on this man who came as the one to usher in the kingdom of God. And they watched him bear the punishment of sin. They watched him be publicly shamed and insulted and mocked. And all of that and the hopes of the kingdom to come were sealed in a tomb. Now, you and I want to jump ahead to Easter Sunday, but we're not going to do that. We got about 36 hours, guys. So I want us to sit in that. I'm going to have Carrie Ann is going to come up and finish our scripture reading, and we're going to have a time of reflection for us to reflect on this fact that the eternal Son of God bore our sin, so willing to identify us that he took on the shame of the lowest person, the lowest ladder on the rung on the ladder, and he brought it with him into the tomb.